for about 6 years, that a limited war there involving just 50 Hiroshima-sized bombs on the part of both of each India and Pakistan, and this is less than 0.5% of the world's nuclear arsenals, that a war of that magnitude would cause worldwide climate disruption. And what we've found in the last few months is that this climate disruption would in turn cause significant decreases in food production. We studied corn here in the United States and rice in China and found that they both decline by about 10%. In the case of Chinese rice, it's actually closer to 15%, and that these declines in production persist for a full decade. The implications of this are really disturbing because in the world today, there are 925 million people who are already living just at the edge of starvation, and they cannot withstand a further 10% decline in their food intake. And we are concerned, therefore, that this limited conflict in South Asia, which would be a terrible catastrophe locally in South Asia, but beyond those local effects, that it would cause a global famine that could threaten up to 1 billion people worldwide.
What was the reaction to the report at this conference in Chicago?
Well, you know, our feeling is that this requires a fundamental change in thinking about nuclear weapons, and I think that's been strongly echoed here. Mikhail Gorbachev, who is the chairman of the conference, indicated strongly that in a statement that he issued that he felt that the study underlined strongly the need to move rapidly for the abolition of nuclear weapons. And that's the conclusion which our organizations have drawn as well.
Have you seen any evidence that there's less proliferation of nuclear arms over the last several decades?
No, I think that the danger of nuclear war has actually been increasing, and that's part of the problem. People don't tend to think about nuclear war very much anymore since the end of the Cold War. But the U.S. and Russian arsenals, despite the reductions that are called for in the New START Treaty, each still contain thousands of nuclear warheads. And when New START is fully implemented, there'll still be 1,500 warheads in each arsenal. Our study shows that as few as 100 warheads can cause a global famine that kills 1 billion people. There's absolutely no excuse for the U.S. and Russia holding on to 3,000 warheads. And I should point out that most of the warheads in the U.S. and Russian arsenal are many times larger, 10 to 30 times larger, than the weapons that we used in this scenario. And in addition to the U.S. and Russian arsenals, there has been the proliferation of nuclear weapons to other countries like India and Pakistan, North Korea. And what we now need to understand is that it's not just the U.S. and Russian arsenals that are capable of causing harm globally. Even the arsenals of smaller nuclear powers like India and Pakistan are capable of causing a worldwide disaster. The U.S. and Russian arsenals still remain the biggest problem. They are capable of causing this level of disaster many, many times over. And even if we reduce them dramatically, they're still going to retain the ability to cause worldwide devastation. On the positive side, we do have now a U.S. president who is calling for the elimination of nuclear weapons. And there have been statements by a number of prominent defense experts from both parties, Democrats and Republicans, calling for the abolition of nuclear weapons. And the hope is that we can move forward at this time and start to decrease the size of the U.S. and Russian arsenals and also enter into negotiations with the other nuclear powers to sign a binding nuclear weapons convention, a treaty, a verifiable, enforceable treaty that would require all states to give up the nuclear weapons.
How do you get, though, some of these states to give up nuclear weapons when a lot of them won't even admit they have them or won't admit that they're, like Iran, won't admit that they're in the process of developing them?
Well, you know, I think there's been sort of a big domino effect. Most of the countries in the world that have nuclear weapons have them at least indirectly in response to the U.S. arsenal. We built ours first. The Russians built their arsenal in response to ours. The Chinese built theirs in response to the Russian. The Indians built theirs in response to the Chinese. The Pakistanis built theirs in response to the Indians. I think there is a tremendous amount of fear and suspicion, and the way to get past that is to have everyone sit down together and negotiate a step-by-step process whereby, in a transparent, verifiable, and enforceable way, all of these countries will give up their nuclear weapons. Now, as Ronald Reagan pointed out, the only reason for having nuclear weapons is to prevent another country with nuclear weapons from using them against you. But if that's the case, together. It's going to be difficult.
Do you see any signs of progress among the superpowers towards an effort to disarm?
Well, as I said, here in the United States, there's been a growing consensus among leaders in the defense establishment that nuclear weapons do not enhance our security. They undermine our security, and that we need to move to eliminate them. The Chinese have always been of that opinion and have always made it very clear that they would be willing to give up their nuclear weapons if the U.S. and Russia gave up theirs. The Russians, perhaps a little bit more difficult at this moment in time. Russia's nuclear weapons are what make Russia a superpower. But I think we need to begin the process and challenge the Russians to join us in negotiations for further deep reductions and see what happens. We may not be successful, but if we don't try, I think what we can say is we will be disastrously unsuccessful in preserving world peace. We have come incredibly close to nuclear war on at least five occasions in the last 30 years because either the U.S. or Russia thought that it was under attack by the other side and prepared to launch a nuclear retaliation. These are all mistakes, obviously. The conditions which led to those near misses still exist today, and we're running on luck. You know, five times we've come within minutes of nuclear war, and we've been very lucky. And a continued reliance on good luck is not an acceptable security policy for the United States or any other country. It's only a matter of time before our luck runs out and these weapons get used. That's what the defense experts are telling us. And so I think we need to move as aggressively as we can to try to eliminate these weapons and hope that we'll be successful.